Hey, Project Big Screen listeners, you can find us every Monday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What happens when you lock 18 coworkers in an office for 1 week to compete for $250,000 of cash? This is Surviving Barstool Season 5, presented by Rumble Premium. Each episode released 3 hours early, so get it ad-free before anyone else, only when you join Rumble Premium. Surviving Barstool premieres Sunday, August 9th at 5 p.m. on Rumble Premium, and everywhere else at 8 p.m.
Welcome to Let's Get Our Barstool, episode 373. Jeff Lowe, Ken Jethro Ballins. We have a mishmash of things today. Steven Soderbergh movie. No Sudden Move on HBO Max. He continues his releases of many movies. I thought, didn't he fucking like retire like 5 years ago or some bullshit?
Did he do a Jay-Z?
He wasn't going to do like
Jay-Z retirement.
Movies anymore. So he was going to do like these artistic movies. Yeah.
Which this is technically artistic. Exactly. It has an artistic flair to it. So we're going to talk No Sudden Move, which does star Brendan Fraser. That'll be a spoiler heavy review because it kind of has to be. And then we'll be doing a cat draft. All cats are eligible.
Cats, baby.
There's a lot of eligible potential picks.
Yeah, cat's a pretty popular creature.
Yes. Also, there's a cat is so broad too. So there could be plenty of picks. What's happening?
What inspired the cat draft, by the way?
Like talked about this last time. Garfield porn on the Lights Camera Barfield Reddit. Yeah. And like Garfield porn too, not like Garfield with big breasts, Garfield not like John in a bikini, like porn, like cartoon porn.
Yeah, it was like Garfield fucking John. It wasn't like John.
Yeah, so we've never done a cat draft. I'll lead it off. A little update on the old poop situation at the shore. I won't get too graphic, but minutes after we ended the podcast last time and stopped recording, I went outside with one other person living in the house, and we were talking to the neighbors, trying to check out the plumbing sewage pipe in the backyard. We heard a pop, turned around. The cap had flown off the pipe. And human shit and toilet paper were volcanoing into the backyard. It was the single grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
That smelled great.
It was shocking levels of disgusting. Like, so much to the point where then walked 20 minutes to dinner and didn't say a word. Just couldn't believe what
How
I
do
saw.
You go to... I'd salute you for going to dinner after that. You're hungry, you know? What are you going to do?
Yeah, it took a while. We walked to dinner, and then we didn't really eat for like another hour and a half or so. Just kind of walked around. It was stunning.
Was the plumber like, I told you so. I told you this was going to happen.
Walked in and said, holy shit. And then the next day, the sewage guy came, and he just started laughing. He's like, this is unbelievable. I was like, well, this is never – like, this is what they do for a living. And he's stunned. Like, that's never a great sign. It's all fixed now, though. They did a great job. So I'm not going to tell that story anymore. It's just that disgusting. It was shocking. It was shocking. The volcano of shit just really scars you. What about you guys? What's happened before we get into our some pretty – we had a couple massive trailer. We have maybe the funniest trailer we've ever talked about on this show coming up in a minute. So
very tough one.
I can't wait.
My basketball team won a finals game, which is just not something I expected to see in my lifetime ever, just especially based off the last two decades of fandom. But other than that, nothing crazy.
Suns and four guy is hitting the Chewbacca mom.
Oh yeah, no, but he does like now events in Phoenix where like he goes and like promotes clubs and shit. He was hanging out with Jamal Murray last night, which is like, if you're a Nuggets fan, yeah, it just fucking sucks. I'm sorry. But he is reaching that level where he's like selling signed merch. Like Suns and Four Guys is really cool. That whole thing was very funny and awesome. But like, I don't want a signed ball. I'm not going to buy a signed ball from Suns and Four Guy.
Yeah, I like him, but he's definitely approaching second stage of Chewbacca mom territory.
Yeah.
But you got to do that. You got to capitalize on it's not, you know, 15 minutes or whatever you call it now. It's not even like 15 minutes of fame is an outdated concept. This is just something else.
You know, like whenever they would show the videos of like the space shuttle launching, and it's like the rocket goes up, and then like once it hits that certain point, like the boosters fall off, and the big rocket hits kicks in. That's like every like person like this like viral star, except the big rocket is like the sputtering little fucking like firecracker, because there is no next level of fame. Like there's no escape velocity for those sort of like viral stars. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's okay though. Like, I think capitalize off of it while you can, but
yes, agree.
You know, yeah, and he seems
consider it a windfall and not a career path.
He seems, by all accounts, to be a good dude too. Chewbacca mom was garbo.
She sucked.
Here's the thing. It's like he has to capitalize now, because if they do win in four, he is a like he kind of has like legendary status that transcends.
Exactly.
But if it doesn't, he's probably irrelevant by the DNA next. Like, even if they win in five, like he's just probably irrelevant by next season. So, you know, get the bag. Mm-hmm. Capitalize. Sign your really long autographs where you put your name and then put Sons and Four guy right underneath it.
Yes.
What happened with him again? Like, I'm aware of the guy.
Yeah.
These
Nuggets fan like started a fight with him. And like, you know, like in every stadium fight, if you have the high ground, you basically have an infinite advantage. And yeah, these two Nuggets fans, they had the advantage. They were the high ground. But the Suns fan just like beat the shit out of them, and then like had one of them in a headlock while telling the other one Suns and four. And this is like in Denver. So brutal. And they ended up winning in 4-2, which obviously helped his whole viral fame. But it was cool. It was a very cool moment. But again, it's not cringy is not the right word, because I would be doing the same exact thing if I was in the same scenario. But it's just like awkward watching it, you know?
Well, there's too many famous people nowadays. It's like your brain can only handle so many famous people.
Got to knock one out to bring one in.
No, I mean, just, you don't know how to process it sometimes. I feel like where it's like, is this person going to stick around? Like something like Chewbacca mom. I thought Chewbacca mom was fine. It was funny. But then Chewbacca mom became a thing. Mm-hmm. And I think there's probably been other examples of that, but it is just like there's just too many famous people floating around your brain now, and you don't know where to place them.
Yeah, I'm not about to knock out like Antoine Dotson for Sons and Four guy. Well, I got to keep my stable.
Yeah, I'm not knocking anyone out, but like, you know, Grumpy Cat left, rest in peace. So there's some room in my brain for new famous.
Super dead.
Big time dead. Rest in hell.
Yeah,
Grumpy Cat's like not in hell.
All Nine Lives. Yeah, he was. You think Grumpy Cat doesn't? Grumpy Cat wanted to be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Persona, dude.
I always felt a little bad for Grumpy Cat. I didn't feel like that cat was happy going to 2013 Comic Con and taking pictures of people on the Iron Throne. I think that's the last thing a cat would want to do.
That was
a very 2013 thing where people just take a cat around and have a cat make public appearances, and everybody's
He was at a booth at South by Southwest in 2014. I remember he was at a like Mashable or something, had him in a booth, take a picture with him.
I wonder, we probably talked about Grumpy Cat the most out of like any podcast in existence. I'd say like probably talk about Grumpy Cat one every 25th episode.
Yeah. And the owner too.
Yeah. I bet the owner had a podcast too, though. I don't know.
The Grumpy Cat.
The Grumpy Cast.
Grumpy Cast is second mic, or Grumpy Cat is second mic. It's like the episode where my audio didn't record.
Yeah, that's funny.
Anything else for you? We got a lot of news. So we're going to get into it. Episode brought to you by a pretty cool company, by the way, called Paint Your Life. Need to give a cool gift, something a little different, something unique. Paint Your Life is kind of a great go-to on that. I used Paint Your Life. Got a really cool painting of my family's dog. Very cool Labradoodle, Lola. Very tall. Well, when she stands up. Very cool website. PaintYourLife.com will give you kind of a different, unique gift. You can get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo. Very affordable pricing, too. That sounds expensive. It's not. You get a ton of world-class artists to pick from who can work with you. It's a very user-friendly platform. Again, any photo you want, yourself, kids, family, pet, whatever it is, a house, cool place, you like a beach, can do multiple photos in one painting. Perfect birthday, anniversary, wedding gift, any of that. very meaningful, personal gift, something different, something unique, kind of lasts forever. Don't just get them like a popcorn tin or something. Get them this, paint your life. It's fantastic too. You get a nice personal experience before and after the product is done. And right now at paintyourlife.com, you get no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money completely refunded, but you will like it, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, you get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off, free shipping, special offer. Text the word lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64000. That's lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64000. 64-000. Paint your life. Give a little personal gift. That's what people want. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. But again, text lights, L-I-G-H-T-S, to 64-000. I highly suggest Paint Your Life. Loki. Penultimate episode of Loki. Dropped Wednesday morning. Very cool episode. I would argue the most cinematic of the five episodes yet. It just felt like it was on a very grand scale. Spoiler alert, a little bit, I guess, here. Richard E. Grant made his...
My best friend.
Yeah, right. Yeah, your boy. Not his debut, technically, because he's in a minute, but his full debut, his speaking lines, full-on episode debut. Very cool episode. Even more character development, setting up a final episode, which I imagine is going to have a bunch of big reveals that lead into these next movies and next moments for the MCU and the multiverse. Because there's multiple versions of characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Like, if that wasn't obvious before, that's just how it is now. There's tons of Lokis, tons of Easter eggs. We saw Frog Thor.
Hell yeah.
We also had an amazing Easter egg of the Thanos copter, which is just the dumbest fucking thing of all time in terms of, like, it's Thanos in the helicopter. So it's Thanos on the side. But it was in Loki, which is awesome that Michael Waldron and company tossed that in there. Tons of cool Easter eggs. But again, the only negative is that this is almost over. Like, Loki's almost done. But this has felt like the most cinematic of the MCU shows. And it's been a great ride. So it's a bummer it's almost over, but I am crazy excited for episode 6.
Big time Easter egg episode, which is so much fun. The Thanos copter. I was reading more about it, and the fact that, like, there's like two elements of it of what Thanos used with it. It's like he used it to steal the Tesseract, and he used it to commit like petty theft. Like, it's just a most bizarre thing. I love that they included that. And I think that this episode is really cool in that they, like, what easier way to get introspection for like a three-dimensional character than to have you arguing with multiple versions of yourself in like that same manner. So cool. And like you're saying, I think this is where a lot of the SFX budget like went to, was this specific episode, because it was fucking huge, giant scale, and like it's not, it's just not something you see in TV shows to have effects of that like level and quality. Very, very cool shit. And it reminded me of Lost with the smoke monster. I haven't seen one of those in a long time.
I saw a lot of Lost comparisons. Yeah,
we finally had the technology to do the smoke monster really, really well.
J.J. Abrams is just like,
fuck,
biting his hat right now.
Oh, god damn. I want, oh god, if I could, I'd want to do that smoke monster so much better than mine.
God fucking damn it. They had a hatch too. They had a hatch in this episode.
Had to be intentional. I felt like this one was like the payoff episode. You know, I mean, all of them have been great, but I feel like when you do like a 6-episode run or whatever it is, like a pretty short season, it's like more movie like, and you want it to be TV, but then this is kind of like the climax of it. So by them going big, it felt good. Like you've been watching it and you're getting a little treat for watching it. Even though the show has been really good, it just like, it was, this episode was my favorite. So what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. What do you call it? I can't wait. I'm actually kind of glad that it's ending soon, because I think that'll make like, put a bow on this and make it so like solidified as easily the best Marvel shows, but like one of the better shows in recent memory. And I'm excited about that more than almost anything else. I think this finale is going to fucking kill, and I can't wait to watch it. I'm just pumped up. I'm pumped up for a Wednesday. Can't tell you the last time that's happened in my life.
I can't stress enough how, and somebody explained it, I think on our Reddit or something, like it's still 7 days you're waiting, but I think it's because that you have it happen over the, are you eating Rita's water ice? Wow.
Sure, I'm just got delivered.
Yeah, wow.
Just got delivered. What mango. What delicious.
Is that with like the ice cream on it?
No, it's just mango is Italian ice, man.
Oh, it's just Italian ice.
It's Italian ice.
Put ice cream on top of the Italian ice.
They do have that. They have that as well. They have that as well, but that's so. But it'll be called water ice for those who are in South Jersey and Philly.
Water.
And this is Italian ice, my friend. And Italian for sure made this. Depends ice custard happiness.
Oh, yeah, it's Loki's. Loki's awesome. It's just an awesome show. I had another point, but I already forgot it. But very, very excited for. Oh, wait. It's because you go over the weekend, like before. Like, yeah, you have Mandalorian, but maybe you watch it on Friday. It's already the weekend. So like it's kind of a weekend show. We're gonna say, I don't know, the weekend like breaks up the wait. It just kind of feels like the Wednesday keeps coming quicker and quicker. So I like the Wednesday drops thing. I think it's a great idea. I just wish they were in the evening. I wish it was an event. It was an event to watch it with people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah,
plus like people are like there, like we get to watch because it's part of our job early in the morning. But everyone else has to like wait until they're done with work and shit. So that part of it sucks. I feel like we can't talk about it as a society all at once.
Right. I hope they find a way to maybe change it. Maybe they will. Who knows? But they're not the only. I think only Amazon really does the like the evening types drops.
Yeah.
So. But there is a show coming out that will be an event, and you can tell that this is going to be, I think, the TV event of the year. And that's Succession. Succession season 3. They dropped the first trailer. Show comes out in the fall. It's been a very long wait. You can tell that it's a show people really got into right around the beginning of season 2, where like, oh, I heard about it. People liked it. People were in it season 1, but season 2 like really ramped it up. And now you can just see it. People are fucking out of their mind for this show. I don't really know many people who haven't watched it. Didn't show a ton in the trailer. Kind of just a build up that, yes, the Roy family is ready to go to war over Kendall's crazy moment, the finale, which, by the way, I forgot how fucking amazing that finale was. That final 30 seconds or so with the smirk on Logan's face. I am this is as excited as maybe I've ever been for a show to come back.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's so crazy, like how that the whole, I think, drop of the Kendall's thing, like the mic drop, if you want to call it that, and like the Logan Roy smirk at the end of it was so fucking crazy. I don't know where they're gonna go, only because like I feel like we've been there, done that, as far as like Kendall trying to go to outside help to oust his father. But I think this is where we get like our Captain America Civil War type moment, right? Where the people within the family take sides.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they're playing the game, but I honestly, I forgot a lot about the second season, but I do remember the drop off. And like, that was like one of the best endings to a season, that I can remember. So I'll probably go back and rewatch it, but I'm super excited about it because, you know, I know what you're saying. It's like kind of familiar, but the whole show is just basically about how everyone hates this guy anyway, mm-hmm. their dad, like everyone hates their dad. And so it will be nice to see what they do with that. And then Tom, like the Tom arc is the one I'm like the most curious about. Cause he's like, I think he's the best character on the show. And I think he's the most miserable person on the show. But I also like, I think he's redeemable, and he's in a hard place right now. His heart's broken.
I was going to say, that's the one character I'm most afraid for. I don't want Tom to eat shit at the end of this. Poor Tom Wobbscams. I was just rewatching it. The part where he basically labors over what gift to give Logan for his birthday, and he gives him like the $10,000 Patek watch, and like Logan just gives it to like the gardener or whatever. Like,
I love, oh. And that's when in the beginning of that, they all give gifts. And in that episode, what's his face? I've had a bad couple episodes.
Oh, Connor gives him the yeast.
Connor gives him the yeast starter, the sourdough starter.
It's so funny. Yeah. They get you this ball of goo.
Yeah. It's the like least flattering gift. I did a rewatch at the Raw. I should have waited a month or two to do a rewatch. I'm going to do another rewatch, though. I haven't decided if I'm going to do. I think I'm going to have to start Sopranos soon. Like, I think that's just going to have to happen. Not unfortunately, but like, if I want to get through that, I'm going to need to kind of rip through. I just did a rewatch of Curb, which, again, is just the funniest fucking show.
I just started my rewatch of Curb.
So goddamn funny. Yeah. Anyway, that's Succession season 3 coming out in the fall, though. I don't think there was like an actual date attached to it. I got like so excited I didn't even check that because they just said fall.
Yeah, I just saw that they confirmed for sure at some point during fall, but I guess they're still working on that.
But that's going to be a moment.
Yeah, I miss the HBO event show. We just had one end, but I miss it already. Feels like we used to have an HBO event show pick up right after the last HBO event show.
And there were some times when they'd overlap, right? Like you'd have one end and then the next one would kind of start after that.
Yeah, but then you got to think like the Succession season would have been out last year if it had not been for COVID. So I'm sure that threw a wrench in their plans.
Yeah, it was supposed to be. That's right. I didn't think about it. Yeah. Long wait. 2 year wait, basically. Yeah, right? Yeah, 2 year wait. In the fall of Succession season 3. All right, here's the trailer we want to talk about. Not really. This was a weird decision. This was a weird decision to release what they did. We've talked about this movie on our podcast a bunch. We talked to Joe Manganiello, who mentioned like, oh, it'd be kind of cool to play Kurt Warner because he's a friend. But the first trailer for American Underdog, the Kurt Warner story, came out. It's coming out in December. Stars Zachary Levi as Kurt. First of all, I don't remember half of these people being cast in this movie. I was blown away.
I didn't know Anna Paquin.
I didn't know Anna Paquin was playing Brendan. Did we ever talk about Dennis Quaid playing Dick Vermeil?
No, but that makes perfect sense. That just clicks. He's just been in a lot of these shitty movies.
Zach Levi is Kurt Warner, Anna Paquin is Brenda Warner, Dennis Quaid is Dick Vermeil. I have to note, the guy playing Marshall Faulk is named O.J. Keith Simpson.
No way, really? That's incredible.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. It's about Kurt Warner's life, which is an incredible story. Kurt Warner, one of my favorite NFL players of all time. Just an inspiring story, not just the getting in the NFL, then becoming a massive bust, basically not a bust or a massive failure after that Super Bowl. You know, had some good runs and injuries piled up. Giants, he was terrible. And then what he did in the Cardinals was still unbelievable. Not just because I despise the Steelers, but I wish for everything he would have won that Cardinals Super Bowl. It would have been just unbelievable. Cool story. Trey, I'll start with you. Holy shit, this looks awful though. This looks awful.
So, coming out, it's the Kingdom Story Company. They did I Still Believe, which was that KJ Apa movie. You remember that?
Dog came shit. Out.
Yep.
Came out like a year ago. So they're making this, and you know, the budget must be pretty big because they got some really big names in it. I like you're saying, the Kurt Warner story is a good story, but here's the problem you run into is the pictures and the action and the video of the football, the football jerseys, and even Zachary Levi holding a football, it looks so unrealistic to me. It took me right out of it. It looks like he has never picked up a football in his life. And even then, isn't Zachary Levi like 6'3"?
He's a pretty big dude.
And it's just like the jerseys, the uniforms are too big. Like he looks that like they had that one still I kept coming back to that was on the one of the websites that I pulled from it after I watched the trailer. And it just looks, as a sports fan, it looks very unnatural. And I just cannot get over that. But I will say there's probably a big market for this, both in terms of this being the Kurt Warner story. And then also just because of, I guess, the genre, because of the Kingdom story, it's kind of a Christian drama, right?
It like is.
They're very religious. Yeah.
These are Christian movies, and there's a broad demographic for that to appeal to. So I'm sure it'll be very popular. And the story also, like, yeah, the Kurt Warner stuff, him coming back and the Cardinals was really cool. Who's playing Mark Bolger? That's the only question I have.
Question, yeah. Make a competing one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's playing Torrey Holt?
Yeah, like you mentioned, I think the thing to note is that it's Kingdom Story Company. They're the Lionsgate partner. They're dedicated to the Christian film genre. They're Irwin Brothers who directed it. All they do is make Christian films. So like that, I think, is going to be the focus of this, not football. So I think people going into this, or maybe if anyone, because I don't think a lot of people even knew this was happening. But like, it's not going to be, I think, a football story. It's going to be more like the obviously story of faith and redemption and all that stuff. And like, to me, I've always thought like the really cool thing was like the human resilience end of it. But for Kurt Warner, like he attributes a lot of that to faith, and that's totally fine. It's his story. He can tell whatever way he pleases. But I would have loved something like this to be like a pure, more football oriented biopic for what that's worth, because I do think that his life and how that revolved around it was just, it's incredible. But you know, is what it is. We get to watch him, watch that Zachary Levi play around in Alibaba, rip off old retro Rams jerseys.
Can I?
They look similar, though. They got very authentic jerseys, helmets, and everything for all those teams.
Just no, like, but the details aren't there that make that a 1998, 1999.
Yes, it is. That is the Rams jersey. I think you're misremembering the Rams jersey.
Is there not a logo athletic era? Like, the numbers are too small. I'm telling you,
look it up. Look up the Rams, Rams 2000 Super Bowl. That is exact. Like, they got all the licensed stuff for the NFL. Like, Rams old jerseys were just a little, like, doofier. Like, they kind of refined him a little more. No, I'm telling you. Like, look it up.
No,
These are pretty big numbers. I'm looking at. Those ones in that trailer did not look big. They look tiny.
How do you screen share on Zoom? Can I not share my screen?
You should be able to.
I don't know.
I can see the numbers being a touch smaller, but I think that's like a case of they tried to make them look maybe too new. I don't know. They're still pretty.
The tiniest.
It doesn't look quite right. It's like CGI humans, like photorealistic CGI humans. But you know what? Valley.
Okay, let me play devil's advocate. You know what I think it actually is? I think this is Darth Vader Rogue One effect. Remember when you try to make something older look older still, even though it's newer tech and newer material? I think that's the problem.
Look at this throw.
Okay, well, that's the other thing, too. His throwing motion is...
Look at this. Look at the mechanics here.
His throwing motion is...
It's like the Duff.
It's a flick. And Kurt Warner has such, like, an iconic, like, very textbook throwing motion, too. So it's tough.
There's no power in it. I mean, it's a fine throw. It's an okay throw. But that always happens in these sports movies. We've talked about it before, especially with baseball. Like, baseball is typically the worst, where you get somebody like they're supposed to be throwing 95 miles an hour, and then the actor tries to look like it and splice it in. You know, this movie is what it is. I still don't believe you about the jerseys, but see, look how small the numbers are, Jeff.
Tiny-ass numbers, man.
I do like the behind-the-scenes thing I watched. Is like it is kind of cool seeing them do the behind-the-scenes on the sports scenes.
Yeah.
Because it's just a complete, like, green screen there where they're going to put in the fans.
They're also doing that. They're doing that thing where it's, like, the super close-up of football stuff so you don't have to CGI too many fans in the game. It's, like, shaky cam football. That's a classic sports movie trope.
Yeah, they love that. Maybe they shouldn't have zoomed in too much on his actual throw, because good lord, man.
Speaking of HBO, True Blood Zone, Anna Paquin.
That's right.
Yeah, no football scene depiction of football ever beat the depiction of football in, like, the Madden career story mode, where, like, you played football like a pickup game on a military base. Do you remember that one?
I don't. I'm blanking on that one.
Pickup football, the Madden game.
Yeah. What's the name of the Madden?
Face of the franchise.
I don't know. It was like it was a story where it was the kid, and then he quit football for some reason, and then I think he joined the military, and I think, like, one of the scenes was.
I don't remember that. All right, I'm going to concede the numbers are a touch smaller. You're right.
Oh, wait, here, hold on.
But I think the Rams numbers were so big, and I think it's the Darth Vader. I think it's the Rogue One thing. I think they tried to make new jerseys into old Rams jerseys, and it just doesn't work.
Because weren't they, like, meshy back in 99?
Yes.
Like,
definitely meshier.
Like,
yeah,
this is that's a new thing. That's the Darth Vader Rogue One syndrome.
That's air wicking antimicrobial right there. Like our good friends at Mack Weldon. That is not old school mesh that smells like dog shit.
They weren't crazy mesh. They weren't like crazy like gym class mesh, but they were definitely a much crappier material. They were Puma, I believe, back then. It was 2000, and the ones in here look like they were made out of, like, the newer Nike stuff, and they just tried to make them look the same. It's tough. I mean, this looks like dog shit, this movie. I mean, it looks awful.
Sorry, I'm going through all the Madden long shot videos on YouTube because I
those are the days.
I hope I just didn't have like complete misremembering.
I think it was face of the franchise. If it was going to be anything, that would do a storyline like that.
Are you not thinking? Maybe are you thinking of? Are you thinking of NFL Street?
Blitz the League.
Hold on. No, look. See, look. This is in Madden 18 long shot. In,
oh well, Madden 18.
Yeah. Here, look.
Oh, and I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Like,
oh my God. What the fuck?
Yeah. It's like the part of the character's story arc is he's on a military base.
You're playing, he's playing like. Pickup football.
It looks like they're gonna. It looks like Tony Stark's gonna test out a nuclear warhead in the background. Yeah, that's.
Yeah,
that's,
I don't know.
That's interesting. Okay.
That's bizarre.
I mean, I just funny you thought that either of us played through the Road to the Show in Madden 18, but it's all right. It's
fine. No, I had to check out the long shot in Madden 18. I think I downloaded Madden 18 because it was on the EA Pass, and it was like 2 years ago, and it was free. So. Whatever. What are you going to do?
some poor schlub like running in a hamster wheel to keep that server running so that you can play it.
Zachary Levi's got to hate us too. Like, I don't think we've ever really said anything bad about Zachary Levi.
We said his muscles were fake because they were.
It's come across the docket for potential interviews, and it's never happened.
Yeah, I think he's fine in here. I think it's tough. Like, it's tough to. It's tough to play a super athletic person in a movie because most of us are not super athletic or even athletic. I get it. But you know, every time you see a throw that's kind of weird in a movie, you're just like, suspension of disbelief is gone.
This also is not going to include the really funny Brenda Warner controversies.
Gotta think now.
Back in the day.
What were the controversies?
She used to give a lot of quotes to, like, I think the papers and stuff, and talked about like wanting him to be traded, and it was just kind of a funny. It was NFL drama.
Try to get that in ESPN long shot story mode.
Get your numbers up.
All right, next up. Do we do an ad read? Yeah, we'll do an ad read real quick here. Next up is Upstart Financial, one of the sponsors of our podcast tonight. Thank you very much, Upstart, for sponsoring the pod. When it comes to paying off debt, folks. Big time uphill battle. Paying off debt is not an easy thing, no matter what it is. Bigger, even small debt, not great. Not an ideal thing. So because of that, Upstart here to help you out, help you get ahead, help you get started. High interest rates, resulting in minimum monthly payments, they keep you in an endless cycle of debt. An Upstart can help you get out of that. If you're carrying credit card balance month after month, you're not the only one. Upstart is a fast and easy way to pay off your debt with a personal loan all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, funding personal expenses. Over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. And unlike other lenders, Upstart looks at more than just your credit score too, like income, employment history, all that. It means they can offer smarter rates with trusted partners. You get a 5-minute online rate check. You can see your rate upfront for loans between $1,000 and $50,000. You can receive funds as fast as one business day too, which is maybe the best thing of them all. Very quick and easy. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/lights. That's upstart.com/lights. And don't forget to use our URL. Let them know we sent you. Got to do that. Got to help us out. Loan amount will be determined based on your credit income and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/lights. This one, I have nothing to say. New digital, because I haven't watched the show. New digital short miniseries from Amazon. VNN. Releases its first 5-minute episode. It's going to bridge the gap between season 2 and 3 of The Boys.
I haven't watched it either, and I'm not like itching to go do it. Although I do, like
I did a quick content. Scrub and I saw a fake Mike Lindell My Pillow thing, and I quickly exited out of it. I just don't have the time for that right now.
They do a good job at like satire and shit like that. They're not usually too heavy handed, so
okay,
that
fair.
Doesn't
good
worry. That doesn't worry me as much as like I don't like. I don't like too much interim content. I like having to wait like a good little boy for the big show. You know what I mean? I don't like being given a snippet.
I don't mean to come off like a curmudgeon, and this is a curmudgeonly thing, but I don't think I've ever like enjoyed a digital series or like a digital extension of a show or digital shorts.
That's what I'm saying, basically, yeah.
Because usually... Like I get why they're doing it, and I think it might be kind of cool, and it does look like, you know, obviously it's the Vought News Network, and it's trying to be broadcasting, or it's broadcasting stuff that's happening in universe, but also it's like stuff that's going to, you're going to get caught up to it in the show anyway. So it's not like a critical thing to watch. But it also like, it's just a newscast, right, Jeff? Like, is there, are they going to have like the actors or anything in it?
It was like just a short newscast from what I could tell.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like the instruction manual for a video game. I was like, I'm glad it's there, but I'm not going to read it unless I'm on the toilet.
Yeah, that's something. You know what? After the podcast wraps up, I'll go take a dump and I'll watch it.
It's just a toilet show. Dude, it's a toilet show.
I used to have so many video game manuals on the top of my toilet growing up. That's just that's where I used to just tear through all my video game manuals back when they still made video game manuals. Yeah, it's a toilet show, not in that it's bad. It's just you know, you take all the things you love about a show. I'm sure there are some lore heads for The Boys, right? Because there's obviously a very established canon for it. So yeah. I that's what I'm saying. I know I'm being a curmudgeon, but anytime something like this comes out, I'm just like, I don't know.
True. You watch I Think You Should Leave season 2?
I did. I binged through it. What'd you think? Very quickly. I think it was great all the way through. I don't think it hit the highs. And I was reading some of the reviews of like the big review sites, and I kind of felt the same vibe. Like, I don't think it hit some of the highs as season one, but I think a lot of those highs in season one came because so many people, I mean, like, you know, the Detroiters had been out, and, you know, people knew of Tim Robinson, but I don't think a lot of people expected the show and how funny it would be. And I think a lot of that came from that. Whereas this one obviously was more highly anticipated, but also like there are some, like, I do think this one, like, I thought it was pretty dark in a lot of different places in like a good, absurd sort of way. And it was like, it was very funny. Like the Tim Heidecker skit was hilarious. So good.
Oh my God. She's addicted to drugs. It definitely, I think, had around the same hit rate as the first season, where like, I feel like I only liked like 50 to 75% of the skits in total in the first season. And I feel like this is around that same rate, but I agree with that. As far as like, I do think that the highs probably weren't as good as the first, but like you're saying, I think something that just comes with being familiar now with Tim Robinson's type of characters. The Paul Walter Hauser skit was very good. Bob Odenkirk one was also very funny. He was like, yeah, I have cars. I got doubles of all of them. That part killed me. The fedora hat or the hat. Fedora with safari flaps in the courtroom scene. That fucking killed me.
I, for some reason, yeah, that was funny. I don't think this was probably one of the more popular ones, but I like the Johnny Carson who could hit people.
That was so good.
Yeah, I just...
At this rate, he can hit people.
But the thing is, when you're talking episode one, you're talking about some of the greatest sketches. I don't know the difference. Some of the greatest skit comedy that's ever existed, right? Just the Baby of the Year is one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so, and I was never a huge fan of the first season of that, which I don't know is weird because a lot of it does, not a lot of it, but a lot of it does fall in like a weird Tim and Eric category, and that's like literally my favorite thing in the world, Tim and Eric stuff. I think the hit rate wasn't high enough for me. I think that was my thing. I didn't laugh. I laughed, I'd say 50% or less, but I will say the funny stuff was very funny. The Baby of the Year thing was very funny.
So fucking good. We got a certified Joe on our hands.
When they're pouring out the water on their steaks.
Sloppy steaks. Be ashamed if someone slopped them up.
Oh, God. Oh,
Dan flashes. Oh, fuck. Connor O'Malley is so fucking funny, man. Anything he does instantly, I cry laughing. He's so good.
He's amazing, yeah.
I don't even remember what we were talking about, but I think you should leave season two.
And then a couple other things. Comment on any of these if you feel free. 2022, all movies from Universal Pictures will be released on Peacock 4 months after releasing in theaters. That's something that I would imagine they need a bump from. Peacock, I think, is the least talked about of the bigger tier of streaming platforms. Jurassic World Dominion, Minions The Rise of Gru, Jordan Peele's next movie, those are going to be the ones included. And then She-Hulk will apparently have fourth wall-breaking moments from Jennifer Wader, similar to Deadpool.
It's like I was saying, the first thing you think of is like, you don't want to encroach on Deadpool territory, but I don't think that Deadpool has a monopoly on fourth wall breaks, you know.
You think Peacock's the worst streaming service, Jeff?
Oh, I think it's the least talked about of the the CBS one's got to be close. The CBS one has had a lot of sporting events, right?
Yeah, I watched on CBS, yeah.
Peacock's has Premier League, but it's, I don't know. That's the one that I feel like is the least talked about one. I could be wrong. That and CBS All Access have to be, or whatever. What is it now? Paramount. They have to be
Paramount Plus. Yeah.
They got to be fucking neck and neck.
Phenomenal rebrand for Paramount Plus, but it's literally the same fucking engine basically. And their interface still sucks.
Oh, dude, their interface is so
horrible.
It's like you go to like the channel or like show page and they just scramble everything up.
It's so fucking.
Would you like to watch Rugrats?
Did you like to talk Rugrats or Next? Your choice.
Because they go through the Paramount was the one that went through that whole like recommendation thing where you had to spend time picking out what you liked, right?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that happened. I don't know. Look, there's some good stuff on Paramount, but yeah, the layout sucks. I do feel like Netflix. I hate to talk trash about Netflix because it's been with me so much, but they've been very weak as of late.
They got some good shit this month. I'll give them that. Last month was like, and I've been doing obviously the streaming box for so long now, but like last month was one of the weakest months as far as releases go I've ever seen. But this week they stepped it up big time. You know, a lot of original shit and a lot of like licensing. So
I liked Fear Street 1994.
So did I.
I liked Fear Street quite a bit. I think for it was a fun, different kind of action thing, action v horror thing. I'm very excited for the rest of them. Like I hope they
Me too.
They all kind of tie in together as some solid releases. Those are all on Netflix.
Are slashers having a moment?
R.L. Stine, just who knew R.L. Stine had that much in the bag? He's like, mm-hmm. Oh, you like Goosebumps? Check this out. I have a whole nother intellectual
I got more
for you to pay me for. Cha-ching.
And then last thing, a little more on the sad side of things is Richard Donner passed away.
Very underrated director.
I mean, he's released The Omen, Goonies, Lethal Weapon, Superman. Just could honestly go on, but Superman.
Sorry, Jeff.
No, I'll say Superman. He made Superman. First of all, he made the Donner cut of Superman as well. Not the one that people saw in theaters. The Donner cut, I think, is fucking awesome. I always grade Superman 2 based on the Donner cut. But Superman is, I mean, it's one of the best comic movies ever released.
And I don't think, Ken Jack, I don't think Donner, I'm not trying to be mean. I don't think he was underrated, but I do think he was underappreciated outside of his time, like in the 80s and early 90s.
Maybe that's a better way of putting it, yeah.
Because he, I mean, certainly like, you know, Goonies was a foundational movie for me growing up. And then obviously like Lethal Weapon and Lethal Weapon 2 were huge. And then pretty much, you know, I don't know too much about his health, but he stopped working about 2006 with movies. And so, yeah, it's just one of those things where like his career, I think to a lot of people who are like a little bit older than you guys is something that, there's a great reverence for and a great appreciation for, but he may not get his shine with younger folks, and that kind of is just that's the unfortunate wave of time, I guess. But yeah, mm-hmm. Goat. And also, Maverick, by the way, Maverick,
right?
Nobody wants to talk about Maverick.
Also, Scrooged.
Maverick not in the pantheon of newer Western movies, which is bullshit, in this man's opinion.
I loved Maverick. I thought Maverick was so cool. And Scrooge was great as well. Radio Flyer was shit, though. I will say that.
So that is very unfortunate. I think that's a better
way of putting it, underappreciated for sure.
Well, yeah, I mean,
very sad news there.
Radio Flyer like, had a very, very heavy script, and it just, I don't think I don't know. It wasn't a good movie, but it was a very, very heavy script.
Rest in peace to Richard Donner. One more ad read. Episode brought to you in part by BetterHelp Online Therapy. We've talked about this company a bunch, and I'm telling you, it's a fantastic service. Look, your life's got many stressors, work, personal, it could be anything. Doesn't matter who you are, what you got in life, what's going on, you can be stressed, and it happens, it's normal. You may not be feeling down and out and depressed and all that, or like you're at a complete loss, but stress can still be high. Temper might be short, might be snapping on people. You're starting to feel a strain on a relationship with friends or even just like for yourself. You're just running out of steam, running out of gas. You need something to help unload all that stress, get it out, let it go. talk to someone who's unbiased. You know, maybe it's not always about talking to somebody in your life, and BetterHelp can bring that to you. When there are things you can't tell maybe somebody, or you feel like getting rid of all that stress, you don't want to do it with family and friends, therapy can help. And BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, live chat sessions with your therapist. You don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want either. That's too much. You don't have to do that. It's more affordable than in-person therapy. You can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Unload the stress. Unload all maybe the anxiety, anything that you need. Give it a try. Unbiased feedback. You'd be surprised what you can really take out of this. If you've never done anything like this, this is a great way to get into it. Maybe you have something that's kind of blocking you from doing it. You don't want to do it. Something that's scaring you off. And LCB is sponsored by BetterHelp. And you get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/lights. That's BetterHelp, BETTERHelp.com, HELP.com/lights. All right. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring once again this podcast. Thank you to our sponsors for this podcast. Moving on, Steven Soderbergh, who we've done some Steven Soderbergh movies. I don't know how many we've done.
We did the crappy Meryl Streep one. We did
Logan Lucky.
Logan Lucky, yeah.
Let them talk.
We never did Unsane, but we talked about it before.
Laundromat, we talked about very briefly, I think.
Stinker.
It's a bad movie.
Big stinker.
However, Steven Soderbergh, director of my favorite movie of all time, Ocean's 11. We did Logan Lucky, which was great. Out of Sight, Traffic. I mean, Traffic, I got the criterion for Traffic. Side Effects, an underrated movie. Aaron Brockovich, Solaris, a movie that I forget exists all the time. Magic Mike, Informant, which I don't think The Informant's as bad as I think it got initially reviewed as when it first came out.
Aged very well.
Also, apparently, they're thinking about doing another Ocean's movie, which is, I think, tough because a bunch of them have passed away now, which is a shame. Tough to recapture that magic without them, but they could find a way. Throw some more people in there. But he did a new movie, No Sudden Move, which kind of came out of nowhere. Released on HBO Max. This is a spoiler review. I'm warning you now. Go away. Okay. Spoiler review. In 1954 Detroit, a group of small-time criminals is hired to steal what they think is a simple document. When their plan goes horribly wrong, they are searched for who hired them and for what ultimate purpose weaves them through all echelons of the race-torn, rapidly changing city. Don Cheadle, Benicio del Toro, David Harbour, Ray Liotta, John Hamm, Brendan Fraser.
Yes, sir.
Big boy. Kieran
Culkin. A lot of people in this movie. Some surprises in the movie as well in terms of who's in the movie. The GOAT cameo person of all time. I mean, the GOAT cameo man, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think it's just at this point, he's the king of cameos. I love No Sudden Move. I liked it like a lot. I think it's a little sloppy in spots, maybe. I think this is Soderbergh doing Soderbergh things, right? Where like some of the other ones he's done recently, maybe not as much. Like Let Them All Talk, like I kind of enjoyed in like a very I sometimes like boring movies way. But Laundromat was terrible and just really got away from him. I think this could have really gotten away from him, but it reined it in. It's confusing, I think, on like that Steven Soderbergh on purpose type thing. The fisheye artsy stuff didn't bother me at all. He's done this lately. Kendrick, you talked about the beginning of the pod, like Unsane was completely filmed on an iPhone, mm-hmm. for example. I like this quite a bit. It had its moments where it was a little all over the map, and it's maybe not the best of what he's done, but this is the type of very fun, entertaining, whips around, moves quick, keep your head on a swivel, figure out the story type thing that Steven Soderbergh does best. And I love seeing it in this type of setting, this type of story. I gave it an 89. I think No Sudden Move is one of the better things that we've seen, I think, this year, honestly.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you said. And I think that with Soderbergh, it's weird. It's not to say he was in a slump, but I think he was in an entertainment slump because, like, Let Them All Talk, which you mentioned before, was not very good. Laundromat sucked outright. Unsane was like probably the best of those three, and that was obviously way more experimental. And, like, they're not bad movies, but they're just not up to standard with movies like Ocean's 11 and Traffic. But I think within like 20 to 30 minutes of this movie starting, I was almost like all that's gone because it's so immersive. It gets you right into that 1950s Detroit atmosphere. I think the production value was spot on. You know, the cars, the houses, the sets, the costumes, all of them are amazing. And it's just, it's shot so well to like highlight every single character and their respective storyline, and each of their storylines is like layered and well-developed and really interesting. And kind of like in a way similar to Ocean, when you have like a multi, I guess, narrative, like more than one major character. And they all connect in like this big overarching plot, which is like it's just paced so well to slowly unravel with all these twists and turns, which I loved. Don Cheadle, I thought, was the standout. I think this is like my favorite character that he's done in a really long time. Del Toro, I think, kind of just plays this. He plays Del Toro, right? Benicio Del Toro just plays Benicio Del Toro, which is kind of his thing, which is fine. And it doesn't make it any less enjoyable, unenjoyable at all. But the other person, got to point out, our big, beautiful, sweet boy, Brendan Fraser, did so good as that mobster. When he starts talking and you hear that deep, dulcet tone, and he's wearing that big three-piece suit with that giant hat on top, how good did he look, Tro?
He looked amazing, and he killed it. He knocked it out of the park as well. Like, he, you know, you want more Brendan Fraser. That's the problem, is you just want more of him. But I feel like we got the right amount of Brendan Fraser in this movie, because it left you wanting more Brendan Fraser. But it was, and like, I got to be clear, like, I'm not doing a bit when I talk about Brendan Fraser. Like, in the same way we just talked about the Goonies, growing up with that, I grew up with Brendan Fraser. Like, as a kid, he was one of my favorite actors for some reason. I watched Encino Man so many times, and his role as Lincoln in Encino Man, I don't know, like, I fell in love with a guy as an actor, and see him back, it makes me happy, even though I've never met Brendan Fraser. But he was great, Ken Jack. I couldn't have imagined this 3 years ago when we started the podcast, just because, you know, like, when we've learned a lot more about Brendan Fraser and what he's gone through, and just to see him out there doing his thing was magnificent.
That's kind of the thing, right? And I think we mentioned this not long after like our interview with him, is like, we were talking to him and we were like over the moon about him, and he, I think, at first thought it was like a bit, and he was like being a little reserved, but I think by the end of it he realized like, we generally just do love Brendan Fraser, and it's not just like a meme or whatever. And he was like all like teary-eyed, like hugging us at the end of the interview. Like, that was the crazy part. I think some people think like our love of Brendan Fraser is like a fucking meme or something. It's not. We love this guy. He's a fucking boss, and he looks so fucking cool and badass in that. And I was so pissed when he got shot to death in that fucking restaurant.
I know, man. I gasped. I was like, oh no. Yeah. But you know, it was, can I give my opinion on the movie? I know,
yes,
like, I don't think there. Jeff's here with us right now, so he can't pace it along.
I gave it an 87, by the way, just to put the knot on that, or bow on that. But yeah, give us your breakdown.
Yeah, I don't want to get too controversial here, but I'm going to give it an 85. I liked it. It was very good. I won't say it was like, I won't do one of those things where I say like it's a breath of fresh air, because it is like very familiar to a lot of things you've seen, both in terms of style and in terms of like just general concept. But it was different enough. It was different enough because you got, you know, that level of style, and it's not as over the top as like anything, you know, other things that Soderbergh has done, but it was like, did have his touch on it. And the thing that really elevated it to me, and I know we talk a lot about like the importance of like, you know, we love to see like up and coming actors and actresses in movies, and we like to see unknowns do knock it out of the park. But sometimes it is just like really nice to get a movie like full of heavy hitters, like people that you know, people that you really like to see in movies, and then have them just be in a good movie. Now, I won't say the same about a bad movie, but like when we talk about like getting recognizable people, like, and I think like, I forget what movie I was like trying to make this point about. Was it the one with I won't go there. I don't remember, but it's just like, for example, like the Frank character, right? Like, you've done like, Frank just appears, but he's played by Ray Liotta in this movie. Mm-hmm. And just by virtue of seeing Ray Liotta, like, you know everything you need to know about this fucking character. and the same thing applies to like John Hamm's character. Like John Hamm either plays Don Draper or he plays a cop. And the second John Hamm shows up, it's like in Benicio del Toro, and like Don Cheadle, like you're saying, I think did a fantastic job because he can do everything. But like, I think like even like Kieran Culkin, it's like, this is the value. Like when we talk about like why bringing established actors, like at least in my mind, like adds so much to a cast, is because there's a lot you can do with just having the presence of the person there in terms of your brain recognizing Ray Liotta and seeing them. That adds a lot to the movie. And like, I think it's just one of those things that Soderbergh can do it, because Soderbergh can just fucking make a phone call to Matt Damon, say, you want to do a cameo God, and Matt Damon's on the next plane. And so that is like, I think there's a lot of things to like about this movie, but I'll just be shameless in saying, like, I really did like the fact that like all the people I really like are in this movie.
Yeah.
It is my Game Master Anthony sort of movie, and it adds a fucking lot to it.
But that's such an awesome thing about Soderbergh too, right? Though, is that he just does that. Like, people just love working with him on these because it's a fun time. And so he gets these casts that are just fucking absurd. I mean, the Matt Damon thing is so perfect.
He killed it too. Great job.
I saw somebody on Twitter say he felt like a Tarantino character, Matt Damon.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was his name too? He's like Mr. Big or something. He had like a cool. Yeah. Yeah, that's fucking cool, man.
Not the regular Mr. Big from...
Yeah, Sex and the City, whatever.
Did he return in the reboot, Mr. Big?
That's a good question.
No, I don't think Chris Noth will be in the reboot, because I think the part of the story of the reboot is that they're getting a divorce. They got a divorce.
That's fucked up, by the way.
And she's reuniting with her one true love.
You know what was cool was the tiny glasses they gave Matt Damon in that. Those are cool glasses. Perfect for what do you call it? Tycoon of big business.
Oh yeah, dude. Tiny glasses, just glasses in general. Like Bradley Whitford, all of his characters are enhanced by Bradley Whitford wearing glasses.
Yeah,
the right glasses choice can just nail it in terms of costume design. It's crazy.
Somebody on our Reddit actually made it a note. They said Roger Cosgrove said Steven Soderbergh can make a well-crafted movie in his sleep, and there's a lot of start tone to carry out a relatively funny script. Well, they didn't love the script the last half hour, but they said the world built in a short amount of time here feels very rich, and actually I think this would have worked better as a miniseries. I would have loved to see these characters and this story played out over a few... Then that's not even like a slight in the movie, because I really obviously like the movie, but could honestly do so much more like that, right?
That would have been awesome. Because those characters seem like they had, like, and they explained them a little bit, but like they're all individual like histories and all of that. But to see them explored on screen, they've been like a little more episodic form, it would definitely been really, really cool. But also, that's kind of the allure, like not knowing stuff.
And I think like, and that's one of the downsides to the movie. Like, if I were to say anything negative about it, which I will because I'm going to do it now, was that I thought, like, everything leading up to the home invasion and the home invasion itself was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think, like, once you got the home, like, once you got past the home invasion and they started to, like, you know, have to actually launch into the rest of the story, things did get, like, a little bit confusing for me at some parts, just because there's a lot of characters and names being thrown around. But he did it in 2 hours. There's a lot in there for 2 hours, I think. So, like, I do agree with maybe thinking it would be like it would warrant more depth to the depth you get out of a show or whatever. But it also, like, it just worked really well as a movie. That's just a nitpick.
Yeah, I mean, it might have helped the pacing, because I do think that that's where, like, you can take off points. Is like, I enjoy the slow burn part of it because that works so well when you have something like dark and funny like that. But like, it definitely, I don't think it's for everyone. And that pacing, it will definitely turn people off, especially towards that second act. Yeah, I like the David Harbour character too, by the way. And his relationship with the secretary and her.
We're doing back to back David Harbour movies because we're doing Black Widow on Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. David Harbour. Pretty similar character, actually.
I thought he was great in this because he was very pathetic.
Yeah.
He's just he just played like a character who's just very, just a loathsome, pathetic guy almost.
Yeah.
And that's kind of like perfect for that setting, because that's almost what you like want to think like a business dude 1950s would be, just a fucking like, be, you know, adultering alcoholic or something. I don't know.
No, I agree. And just like chain smoking, adulterating. cheating, a chain smoking cheating guy that wears nice suits. That's what I picture every time.
I always appreciate with Soderbergh too, is that, and maybe this is not the case for all his movies. Like, I feel like the budget in his movies, like, he can make a movie in terms of look on a smaller scale budget wise. And that's why he just spends so much on the people in his movies. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You'd have to think so. Cause like there wasn't any,
I could be wrong on that, but that's like always my sense. Like it's like this on, like it's, you get the sense that like, he doesn't, like, he'll make whatever, you know, out of whatever he's given table scrap. He cares about making sure people are there to deliver, which again goes to what you say, Trillian. You say it all the time. You said earlier in this review is that having that established star, it does sometimes just help immensely.
Yeah, but it's also like one of those things where you probably also don't like truly appreciate how much money went into like the set design and everything, and just getting like, you know, period piece cars and whatever.
Dude,
I don't know, but you're right in the sense that, like, I mean, look, this was like a movie that was heavily impacted by COVID. Like, I was looking up the production details and they were supposed to film like April 1st, 2020 and had to push it back to like September 2020. And they did it between like September and it ended in November. So it was like shot, done, really quick turnaround. Right. And then obviously set on it for another more than half a year to release it and put it into post and everything like that. I don't know how much it costs, but like, Jeff, I think you're right. Just in terms of saying, like, I mean, the thing you like about Soderbergh is like, regardless of like whatever, you know, if you're going to get more of the spectacle you might get in the Oceans movie, and even something like, I know we said like Let Them All Talk, like I didn't necessarily love that. I don't think we did. I thought we found it kind of boring, but like, he does do interesting characters. Like the characters in Let Them All Talk were interesting. It just, the old framework for the movie just was very boring. And so he'll always nail that. And he just put him anywhere. Like he can make it work. And I think he's, you know, built a reputation off of that.
I think he's just a really good guy at making heist movies, number one. And number two, like you're saying, Troll, doing character work. This guy, if there is anyone on earth I would trust to make a heist movie, it's motherfucking Soderbergh, dude. He's so good.
Well, I think he's good at the heist because he understands that, like, he understood the trope of the crew, and like every crew needs X, Y, Z, ABC and all these sort of guys. And like giving the crew different personality, like the highlights of the Oceans movies to me is thinking back to like Brad Pitt's character and, you know, Linus
George Clooney.
I mean, yeah, George Clooney. Ocean. But I was even going to say, like, I was trying to get the name and I don't know why, but like, rest in peace to Carl Reiner. Like, he's the glue that tied that whole thing together. Like he just creates these characters that makes, like, even when you, like, you know, before you even walk into the casino, just makes it like very appealing. And that's like what you kind of get in this movie, even though, like, you know, Benicio del Toro and Don Cheadle's characters are doing this home invasion. Like you still kind of are siding with them, like, cause you know, they're not trying to kill this family and you know, they're just trying to score, but like, they're also kind of like sympathetic lowlifes too. And I think like, if you're good at what you do, you can do that. And that's what he did here.
That's part of his thing, right? His morality of crime. Like whenever you're making that crew, whenever you're building up the characters, he's never had a heist where like it's somebody just trying to steal money from an orphanage or something, right? It's always like guys who are committing a heist versus bad people. And they're always like actually the good guys. And I think he's good at making that not too contrived of a concept, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Because that can easily be something where it's like, well, not every heist has to be good guys. It can be bad guys too. He's good at like towing that line very well.
Gentlemen, I brought you here today. Six of you are bad guys and six of you are good guys. And I'm morally neutral. This is Ocean's 13.
Yep. I'm the chaotic neutral here, sir.
You'll have to figure out who are the good guys and who are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Fisheye stuff again. I know a lot of people mentioned that. Some people really didn't like it, but I like the artsy attempt though. Like, I don't know, like I mentioned it many times, like sometimes I will be a sucker for the attempt, right?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't think it was distracting at all, you know what I mean? I wasn't like, I stopped in my tracks and was like, oh, there goes Soderbergh, that motherfucker trying to do something artsy again. I was just like, oh, okay, and moved on. I didn't think it took away or stopped or the flow of the movie.
Well, we talked a little bit about Brendan Fraser, Jeff, but then I think you had to go put out a fire somewhere. Do you have any thoughts of Brendan Fraser in this movie?
I mean, the deep, sultry voice of Brendan Fraser is so soothing to hear now back in a movie again. And what's on the docket for him? Can you remind me what else he has up?
The 400-pound man or whatever that is. Yeah. The 24 movie. That's why he's looking a little huskier, for those of you wondering why he packed on a little.
He's not looking at one role right now. He's looking many roles ahead.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's doing.
Multifaceted king.
I'm just happy that we can stop with the what happened to Brendan Fraser articles.
Yeah, he's right there. He's working.
Like, that's it. He's 6'3", doing the
three. This guy. Right, he's doing Shut your mouth.
The Darren Aronofsky movie, The Whale.
Yeah, A24 one. Yeah, you know, Doom Patrol probably still too, unless they got canceled. I forget. Doom Patrol is pretty awesome.
Tough to tell with those, with what's happening.
That was an awesome one.
In the DC world. It still says.
Breaking news. Brendan Fraser has been cast to be my buddy in Saturday's hangout session. So Brendan.
Call time is 9 p.m.
Come on. We are really close to the Mummy reboot. Talk. Yeah. It's going to happen. The more we see him again, it's inevitable.
I'll tell you this right now, and I'll call it when that happens, is that movie, whatever the production is, and whatever they cast as Rick O'Connell, whatever, they're going to be bullied to death if they don't.
No. I'm saying
Brendan Fraser as Rick O'Connell.
No, yeah. I think they're going to cast him as something. Just make Rick O'Connell.
Oh no, I think it will be soft reboot where he plays Rick O'Connell. I really do. I'm confident. That's a prediction, not even bold. I think now that you're going to see him a little more, it's just inevitable because it's a franchise people like. The last one was dog shit, was awful.
Oh,
and I think people are going to want to see it.
He's Rick O'Connell, and then he has a son played by Skylar Gismondo.
He already has a son in the movies. It all works out. Is he 12? Is he 25? No one knows. That's for us to know and you to find out. That son was annoying as shit, right? Oh, wait, they already had an old... In the Dragon Emperor, he was older already. Fuck! Alex O'Connell, remember? Okay. He was so annoying in the second Mummy movie.
What's the next retcon?
What's the next Skylar Gismondo movie?
The next Sky Jizz banger?
The Starling, with Melissa McCarthy, Chris O'Dowd, Kevin Kline, and Timothy Elephant.
Who's that directed by?
Coming out in September. Theodore Melfi.
Okay. I didn't know if it was being directed by
who did Hidden Ben Figures. Falcone. No, it's not. And then Soggy Bottom from PTA. He's in a. I didn't realize that.
PTA.
That's right. He's in the PTA movie with Bradley Cooper and Benny Safdie.
Is this the one with Taylor? Or is she in a different PTA movie? Oh wait, no. She's not in PTA. Who's the other guy I'm thinking of?
That's in Soggy Bottom.
No, it's not. It's not Paul Thomas Anderson. Who's the guy?
Paul Wes Anderson is what you're thinking of. He did Underworld.
Gotcha.
No, she's in David O. Russell's next movie.
That's what I'm thinking of. I was thinking of David O. Russell. Yeah. I interpreted Paul Wes Anderson. I interpreted the O in David O. Russell as a middle name.
I'm surprised she's in the movie because people fucking hate David O. Russell.
Like, they hate working with him.
Yeah, there's just so many stories about him.
Didn't somebody get into a fist fight with David O. Russell?
Yeah, George Clooney beat the shit out of him, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like a bad, like noted, like not a great guy.
Clown his ass.
Yeah. How fucking good would you feel if George Clooney came to your defense and just beat the shit out of somebody?
It'd be pretty fucking
George Clooney.
If Clooney was like, fuck this, I'm not letting this happen to you. Just beat the shit out of someone.
He's beating up a GameStop employee. You're not going to rip off this guy. His copy of Dishonored is worth more than $6.
What? Didn't someone fight with him on I Heart Huckabees too?
That might have been. I don't know. I just know there's many stories.
I wonder. Mark Wahlberg was in I Heart Huckabees.
He was.
I don't know. I'm going to eject myself from the David O. Russell conversation.
Ejecto seat, cuz. Next Sunday. Oh, anyway. So, yeah, we really liked the movie. Audience gave it an 82, so maybe not as much as us. 89 for myself, 87 from Ken Jack. Churro, remind me your score again. Apologies.
I gave it an 85.
Yeah, so we're right around the same ballpark there. Black Widow on Sunday, which, again, you can go see what we gave. In terms of Soderbergh, by the way, this is five for me behind Traffic, Out of Sight, Logan Lucky, then of course the amazing Ocean's 11. Black Widow, you can go see our scores now on movierankings.net. We did score the movie already, but we will talk at length about Black Widow and then do some sort of comic booky type thing after that. Okay, next up, Cat Draft. It's Cat Draft time. It's time for a new randomization of a list. So here's the list. I'm going to hit randomize momentarily. Nobody can see my screen because I'm showing the boys and it's very dark in here. Here we go. Going to hit randomize. And the list is Trill, Audience, Ken Jack, then myself. That's going to be the order for the draft. Trill, Audience, Ken Jack, and then myself. The Cats Draft. Trill, the number one cat in the draft.
I'm going to take the Australian cat toll dog.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah, dude.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Was that one of your picks?
Yeah, that was my number one.
The Australian cattle dog?
Yeah.
Yeah, because how subversive is that? You weren't expecting I take a dog number one in the cat draft, and then that just proves that Ken Jack and I have the same warp
God fucking damn
brain
it.
Juice floating wow,
that's,
around our skulls.
Boy, the Australian cattle dog was number one on two big boards. That's crazy.
This is like Mac Jones all over again.
You were waiting just to say that. I got that cattle dog.
Wow.
Cattle dog. Wow.
Ken Jack, who is the audience? I have no comment on that. Who's the audience czar?
The audience czar is Flick Nick. And the reason I picked his is because, yeah, he does have a legitimately good list. But he gave me 15 because I always asked for 15 when we're doing our 20 pick draft or whatever. But he also gave me an extra five that it said break in case of emergency. And I thought that was funny. So good on you.
That does deserve it.
And this is how you know he's a bona fide audience member is guess what his number one pick is?
Garfield?
It sure is. He's picking the Monday cat.
Monday man.
Monday man, the cat that hates Mondays, loves lasagna, loves holding up John in his big burly arms, loves fucking him sometimes. I don't know. I only watched some of the Reddit stuff or looked at some of the Reddit pictures.
I haven't read the cartoon strip. I've only seen the Garfield hentai.
Yeah, that's the only thing. That's my only introduction to Garfield. But they're going to love this now. I think the audience, he already sealed the audience's trust by getting Garfield with this first pick.
Yeah, getting Garfield was pretty important. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm up now, right?
Yep.
I guess I'm going to go to my second highest one. I'll do the MGM line because we are a movie podcast after all. And I always thought the MGM line was really cool. What do you call it? Like, when you just the big ass roar. And you know you're about to see a good-ass movie or a shitty one. Doesn't matter. But it always associated with watching a good movie.
Does that come with the meme where they made it seem like it was a lion putting his head through a hole when they initially filmed it? You know that meme where it's like, this is how they did the MGM logo.
Yeah, it's like absolutely.
It's guys in shorts like holding the lion by the tail.
And everyone has an uncle who shared that on Facebook.
Yep. Yes. I got an email from my grandpa, I'm pretty sure.
Yep.
Like, isn't this crazy?
Is this real? Looks real.
Yeah, that's a good pick. That's a good pick. I'm going to play into the horniness factor. I'm going to pick Catwoman.
Smart pick. Wait, which one?
That's
it matters. So am but I.
Whatever the graphic needs to be the horniest.
That's the Halle Berry
one. Induce the horniest people. But the Halle Berry movie will hurt me. That's the thing.
Well, no, see, but the Halle, I feel like the Michelle Pfeiffer is more horny.
It's got to be Michelle Pfeiffer, I think,
because it's got that like Tim Burton like weird theater kid goth horny energy to it. Whereas like the Halle Berry one is just like a mainstream horny.
I thought it was more 2000s level horny, including the basketball game with Benjamin Bratt, which had insane sexual tension. I found that to be the hornier version.
Yeah, but like Batman Returns, Catwoman like licks the length of Batman's face in like a PG-13 movie. Like one of the horniest things ever put into a PG-13 movie.
Oh, but I remember that scene so well. The sound. She didn't make that sound, but
did you ever see that? Do you ever see that behind the scenes footage where she has the whip and she's like at the sporting store
and they're all
like
cheering for her at the end? Yeah,
she does it like, and she does it all in one take or something, and everybody goes crazy.
It's fucking cool.
And then my second pick, first pick of round two, I'm going with the 38-2 2011-2012 national champion Kentucky Wildcats. Just specifically that team. They were one of the best college basketball teams of all time. Anthony Davis leading the way. And who were one of their two losses, Trill?
Indiana. The watch shot with Tom Crean. Just his face is like, oh, this buys me 5 more years.
Thank God. Oh, thank God. Ken Jack, your second pick.
There is one guy that picked a bunch of Suns players that happened to be Wildcats, and I appreciated that. But I didn't pick his team, so I didn't appreciate it enough.
Yeah, that's too much. That's too much pandering, I feel like.
Yeah. Some people will do Suns in 4 to try and get in. I respect it, but I couldn't pick the Wildcat one. Let's do – I don't want to do like Simba and Mufasa. I feel like that's too mainstream. Let's do I'm going to do with Jaguars, the car, because I think Jaguars are very cool. Shaguar is not included, unfortunately, but I do. I just had to take. I had to take them. Jaguars are some of the coolest cars in the world. Okay, yeah, the audience is up next. I could pick their next pick. Yeah, I'll do it. They have Simba. They have Simba next. They're probably going to win this draft already, but they have Simba, one of the more iconic cats. Some would say, even if some would consider him a lion. I think it's a good pick.
Though you also picked the lion, though, right?
What's that?
But you picked the line.
Yeah, I picked the MGM line, but it was just saying Simba could be
it works for my team, folks. But Trill, you have back-to-back picks, the cat draft.
Oh, this is tough. I'm going to take a Cat 5 cable. So many years, it provided internet to my dorm room. I know we don't really need them anymore, but it is nice when you can get internet through a Cat 5 cable because it makes gaming a little bit easier.
You couldn't game in college without it, really.
Yeah, and I've never had a hookup at home that's been close to having a Cat 5 cable. They like the cable person always comes in, and like I guess the hookup is always at the most like just at the back of the house, a place you'd never actually have a computer set up. Gosh, in terms of cats, I think I've got so many options.
There are a ton of options.
I mean, this is a really tough one because normally in drafts you have a clear number one, but I think I'm going to go Hobbs from Calvin and Hobbes. Mm. I liked Hobbes. You know, you were either a Hobbes truther and that Hobbes was real, or you were a Hobbes. You thought Hobbes was in Calvin's head, and you said with side of the fence. Everybody had their own explanation for Hobbs.
I like that. That's a good one. I see they had this on their Flick Nick had it on their list as well. When I initially read it, I'm like, how's The Rock? What does he have to do with cats at all? Because that's my first association with the word Hobbs, not the cartoon for some reason.
Who do you like more, Calvin or Hobbs?
I don't know. I think they each have their strengths and weaknesses. I never really had a preference. They're a duality.
I think that's a bad take. I think only one of them has a pissing on a sports team logo window sticker.
I like to think that he had sex the night before and a little piece of debris blocking his stream piss on both television and FM radio.
And there's AM radio off in the distance, safe.
I would
safe
love
and dry.
Just the Calvin pissing generator.com and just come out just upload an image for Calvin to piss on.
You bring that back.
Audience, their third cat.
They picked Tom from Tom and Jerry.
That's a weak pick.
It's an iconic. It's arguably, if you think about the history of all media cats, he's probably the most famous and well-known cat. Singularly, other than maybe Garfield, but maybe not even, I don't know. But so that, in that sense, I think it's kind of a steal, but I agree with you. It's a boring pick.
What do you like more, Tom or Sylvester the cat?
I like Sylvester.
Sylvester's,
yeah, Sylvester's kind of a big doofus, though, right?
That's why I like him.
All Tom would do is go, oh, and he gets like his ass lit on fire by like a cigar.
That's true. Sylvester, yeah, he could at least explain why he was feeling down, couldn't eat the bird. Ken Jack, number three for you.
Shit. Let's do I'm gonna do Piano Cat. Piano Cat gave me a lot of joy when I was young.
Oh, wait, Keyboard Cat, right?
Yeah, Keyboard Cat, whatever you want to call it. It's obviously Keyboard Cat, but
the famous meme Piano Cat.
It's regional.
Yeah. Well, you see, up north here, we like to call him Piano Cat.
We don't call him,
but I know down south they like to call him the Keyboard Cat. But that's okay.
I just imagine everywhere, like there's regions where people call them pianos, and other where they strictly call them keyboards.
Keyboard Cat. All right.
Look, down in Sheboygan, we call him a keyboard. Ain't nothing to it. Gonna go get me a pap.
I'm gonna go
we call him Organ Cat here. Clearly playing a.
That's in the South. The South calls him Organ Cat. Yeah.
Synth Cat. We call him Synth Pussy here.
That's out on the West Coast.
Yeah, yeah. We call him Synth Pussy.
Synth Pussy.
Oh, we gotta. That's
number one. I can't do a German accent anymore. It's like the number one musical entertainment at like the nightclub that is just a concrete cavern in Berlin.
It's in a basement. Yes, exactly.
I will be tweeting the Keyboard Cat, and it'll say synth pussy.
Synth pussy.
that's one of our best no context things I think we've ever.
Everyone's gonna be
synth pussy.
Can you put him in a turtleneck? Can you give Keyboard Cat a turtle? He's wearing one. He's kind of wearing one already.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna add it. Just straight up, just synth pussy. Yeah.
I'm always good for a stupid German accent for one sentence, and then I completely just give up on it.
And tweeted. We just got followed today by Malcolm D. Lee, the guy who's directed a ton of movies, including the new Space Jam, and we just tweet out synth pussy. All right. My next pick. I'm going to go with comedian Cat Williams.
Not Cat Williams Ferrell.
Cat Williams Ferrell.
That was a big miss by you.
I follow back.
That was a big miss, Jeff.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's a fair.
You got to take him now with your back to back.
That's such a funny account.
No, because you said it, so I can't do it. And then I'll go with maybe one of the better NFL mascots, Sir Purr.
That's a good one.
The Carolina Panthers mascot. He's always he's. You know why Sir Purr's good? He's always holding a box of Bojangles. Like, not just a good NFL mascot. Like, he's got a box of Bojangles, maybe some Bo-Berry biscuits. I'm going Sir Purr of the Panthers. Ken Jack, your fourth cat.
I'll take the better NFL cat mascot, Jackson DeVille.
That's pretty good.
Jackson DeVille is cool as shit. He's wearing those sunglasses. He's got that cool leopard print on him. Oh, man. Jackson DeVille is badass and sexy. He is cool as hell.
Jackson DeVille is there are some bad mascot names, and Sir Purr is good, but Jackson DeVille is about as good of a lazy attempt as you can get.
I love it. It's perfect for a mascot. You know what I mean? It'd be bad in almost anything else. It is the perfect mascot name.
Audience, what's their fourth cat?
The audience's fourth pick is let me go down because there's actually just recently got taken. They go with Tony the Tiger.
Okay, they're getting the staples. They are getting the staples.
Yeah, they got Chalk. There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. All right,
they're gonna win this draft for sure.
Yeah, respect. Trill, your last two picks here. There's so many cats to pick from.
I'm taking one of the most beloved mascots of all time. Like, you guys have mentioned some of the cat mascots, but none of them can hold a candle to Cinemark Cinema's Front Row Joe.
I for the rest of my life, I'll be upset that you and I saw Star Wars together. We didn't buy the Front Row Joe blanket.
There's been so many great iterations of Front Row Joe. Like, there's like the 80s, 90s version of Front Row Joe, and then there's like the updated CGI version of Front Row Joe. A Front Row Joe is easily one of the worst cat mascots I've ever seen.
Front Row Joe.
He's so bad it's endearing. Like there's even
Wait a second. Front Row Joe's got a wife named Popcorn Penny.
Oh, that's kind of cool. There's illustration groups of there's a Rule 34ing Front Row Joe.
There's a lot of Front Row Joe stuff. Like there's this Front Row Joe mouse pad.
I mean, what would compel you to be that obsessed with the theater chains? I mean, I guess AMC had the little ticket stub or the film reel guy. I liked him.
There's way too much of this stuff. What the fuck?
Oh my God, Front Row Joe. What's your last one, Trill?
I'm gonna go with another animated cat, MC Scat Cat.
Oh, damn it.
Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract music video.
Damn. Okay, so MC Scat Cat was gonna be my last pick. I did not think, I guess of all people, you would have taken it. MC Scat Cat is, I think, the best name of any cat.
It's pretty fantastic because I don't want to say it's like it's well executed, right? Like the video doesn't look like shit, but it's not like a well-designed cat.
How many times do you think MC Scat Cat showed up in Family Guy? I bet MC Scat Cat got referenced multiple times.
I see it in American Dad, and the first time I literally on first Google is a picture of Stan Smith.
Oh, it's like that one time we bought MC Scat Cat and brought him home.
This is like that one time the damn woman brought MC Scat Cat to my birthday party.
That's like that one time Peter got me MC Scat Cat for my birthday.
Damn MC Scat Cat. Hey, you know what I haven't had in a while? Big League Chew. An MC Scat Cat.
Audience last pick.
They're going to go back to the well of simp picks, and they're going to pick Puss in Boots. Not a bad pick, I don't think.
Not even on my radar. Fine, whatever. Okay, character. Not even on my radar.
They have a lot of chalk picks, but I think that's going to win them the draft because everyone else is going to look at our picks and be like, what the fuck happened?
They just opened like the – he did a good job. Opened the stock folder of cats, basically.
Yeah, but they're all – they're what do you call it? Name brand – staple guys. They're like fucking 6'4 linemen from Ohio. I love them. They're good picks. I'm up, right?
Last pick.
Pussy.
I don't even know what to say.
Goochman, and you know the graphic, it better show exactly what I want to show. Don't fuck me on this.
This. Okay.
That was like a stand-up, like a dirty stand-up comedian in the 80s. Like, hey, is anyone else here like this?
All right, Mr. Relevant for this draft.
Lot on the board. No one picked Heathcliff. Nobody picked Grumpy Cat. Mr. Bigglesworth, Bustopher Jones, Mr. Mistopheles, Cat. And I'm surprised you obviously picked Cat in the Hat. Also, shout out to the New Britain Rock Cats. Great minor league baseball team name. No one picked the Cat Front End Loader, Hello Kitty, Black Panther. I'm gonna go with a meme that I think you were mildly involved in making, Ken Jack, and Barstool fans will know it. It's Ripped Big Cat, a.k.a. Buff Cat.
Yeah, that's right.
One of the funnier things. As someone myself who has recently been tagged in many things for lookalikes because of Italy's run to the Euro final. A better looking than you lookalike. Big Cat, good looking guy. No, it's not. No offense. But Buff Cat is, I mean.
Buff Cat's an animal, dude. He's like 6'5 of pure muscle.
He was like crew mm-hmm. levels of ripped. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Still can't believe you got that video of crew for the draft.
That was so funny.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the fact that he was found. Our fans found, if you ever watch Fictional Debates, now's the time, it's on YouTube, but they found him like in a day. The actual guy.
It was like a 200 by 200 picture of a random Filipino weightlifter, and it was found within like a day.
God damn, like, was he jacked though?
Yeah, he was.
So that was fucking strong.
I saw that picture. I was like, I gotta use it. This is crew.
All right, that was fun. The last pick by Ken Jack, that might have won it for you. It'd be tough to beat that. Anything else? Black Widow, Marvel. It's Marvel, first Marvel movie that we're reviewing since July of 2019. That is crazy.
Insane.
So we'll do Black Widow. It'll be on Disney Plus, Premier Access, or in theaters. Go fucking see it in theaters. If you can go see it in theaters, go see it in theaters.
Great theater experience. Great, great theater experience.
That's it. Ken Jack and Trom, Jeff Lowe. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a good week at the box office, folks.